I'm not sure how Gary Scott has made it to my studio. He is in the middle right now of an outage at Unit 2 at Sequoia, where he is a TVA electrician. He has two sons and a daughter. He's 43 years old, and he's working to, you might say, to secure his rights to these children, but he's working 72 hours a week as an electrician. He has his own little business on the side. But when there's an outage, all of life ceases, and 72 hours a week, he is there on the job, on the job, on the job, as TVA tries to get everything done in the way of repairs and maintenance while the reactor is not functioning. And that's taking a lot of his time. He doesn't get a lot of sleep, and yet he is here in the studio. Gary Scott is his name. He serves other dads who have a problem similar to his own. His problem touches on his children. As I say, two sons and a daughter with whom he has 50-50 custody with his wife, his ex-wife, Namika. He's 43 years old and is spending a lot of his time when it comes to him and energy with the Tennessee Fathers' Rights Movement, which is a group on Facebook. And his efforts are to help dads secure their rights. There seems to be a problem, Gary Scott, in the way the judicial industrial complex runs that seems to be walking over the rights of fathers to their children. What's the main problem that you're seeing, and how let's evaluate your place in that problem?
Well, you know, every system has a prime mover. Just like you said, I'm at the plant. We're working on getting the reactor back restored, and the energy, the prime mover behind the reactor is the reactor nuclear fuel, and that's the energy behind creating the electricity. So in the deprivation of father's rights, there's an energy behind it. The energy is money. The energy is the state and the incentive payments that are being given from the federal government to they're incentivizing taking father's rights away so that the states can make a profit. And there's a 42 USC 658 alpha, which explains, if you look it up, I say it again, 42 USC, that's United States Code, subsection 658 alpha, which thoroughly explains the state getting federal funding in the position of incentive payments for creating child support orders. So in order to produce child support orders, they have to deprive fathers and some mothers of their rights. Typically, the higher earning parent has to suffer having a child support order against them so they could have the money coming out of their payroll checks. And that's how the state earns their money from the federal government.
So are you saying the state earns the money from the withholding for child support and also from a separate payment?
Yes.
By the government?
Yes.
Is that a set amount? How is that amount?
Oh, it's in 42 USC 655. There's payments to states. There's two forms of payments that the state gets. They get payments in amount of 66% in matching federal dollars on every expenditure going out in child support enforcement. On top of that, they get incentive payments for how well the child support program is ran. And that is found in 42 USC, as I said, 658 alpha.
Well, so you're saying that if a state is more efficient in running this this control mechanism, it gets more money. How then does the state show its efficiency to the federal master, to the federal funder?
They simply make reports. Each state is typically, their child support program is implemented through the state's attorney general. All right. The money comes in through his office. He then makes, they have a contract, a federal contract with the state. The state then makes contracts with every county within the state. All right. So in those contracts, the attorney general will implement or tell the county, look, I want you to, as much as possible, attach a child support order to every divorce decree that comes through circuit court. And the more child support orders they produce and alimony payments, that's also included. That's like adult child support. They get funding for that too. And so the more child support orders and alimony orders that they produce, that gives them more federal funding from the Social Security Administration.
So when there's marital distress in Hamilton County and couples go to court and any kind of order is written, there are vultures effectively circling over circuit court, circling over probate court, circling over the children's court, the children's court system, juvenile court, looking at how the claw can come down and attach attach itself to a particular case, so that in the generation of an order, maybe against you, Gary Scott, or against your ex-wife, Namika,
right,
there is funding that comes to the state.
Oh yes, yes. See, I'll tell you how I've been studying this for the past year and couple of months. I was summoned to court for modification. At the time, I was $20,000 overpaid in child support, so I thought that it was a cut and dry case. The judge was going to get in there and laugh at this modification hearing. And, it was going to be open and shut. I was going to be out the door. That was not the case. I hired a lawyer.
Which judge?
Judge Kyle Hedrick, right, the recently elected judge. That was not the case. So I hired a lawyer. I paid him $1,500. And I was pretty confident. I showed all my pay records, which I didn't pick up on the wording in the comments that everybody was making. When he seen my pay records, he about fell back in his seat and said, "We're trying
to." The judge
to,
or the lawyer?
The lawyer. He said that we're trying to get guys to do what you're doing, Gary. And I didn't pick up on that. You know, so I never.
Just say paying in advance.
Yeah, paying in advance or paying you know, on a regular basis. Which show me they're not concerned about fathers and their rights and their property. They're just concerned about people paying into the system. And I didn't pick them on that at first. You have to realize.
So tell my listener what it is you should have picked up on.
Well,
Gary Scott.
Well, I don't know. Most fathers come into the court system. They're very naive. They're very uneducated about the system. They're very uneducated about how court unfolds and the legalities and everything surrounding going into court. Like I said, I hired a lawyer, just typically what most people would do. When we got leading up to the court date, he kept promising me that I would see a judge. And so I see a judge. I had this in my mind. I said, okay, I'm trusting you to do this because I have no experience. So that's why I hired you. And so on the day of the court hearing, he comes to me and said, we're not going to see a judge. Mind you, I was $20,000 overpaid on paper. This is at Maximus. They have it documented in the order. All right. So I get there and they march me over to this jury room. It was me, the lawyer, the state attorney, and my children's mother. So I'm sitting in the room. They close the door and they proceed to type up a new child support order without any type of showing of evidence of her making money under the table, which by law, all forms of income are to be imputed in producing a child support order. While we're in the room, I had to step above my lawyer and bring out evidence. I said, are you not going to show this? Are you not going to present this at whatever this was in this jury room? Mind you, I didn't realize that we were not in court. You know, I'm very ignorant at this point about how things work in court. So after I showed it, the state attorney grabbed it, showed it to my child's mother and said, is there anything of this? You know, just kind of trivialized it. And she said, no, there's nothing of it. And threw it on the table. They proceeded to type up the order. She slid the order to my lawyer. He signed it, didn't let me read it. He slid it right back across the table. Next thing you know, we were out the jury room. He told me to look, just take care of your kids. I left the courthouse that day paying $150 more than what I was paying, even though I was $20,000 overpaid on paper.
And what was the rationale for that, Gary Scott?
I don't know, just pure evil, you know. So,
and why was your attorney, let's just talk briefly about him. What was his... What did he do right? What did he do wrong? He didn't talk with you about it. He did not ask you a question. He did not ask to step out into the hallway to discuss this with you. Did he?
No, he didn't. He basically, he filled me up with a bunch of, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, lies or whatever. He had me believing that the state attorney was more than what she actually was, as though she was some powerful figure, which she wasn't. What I later found out. So
who was that person with your wife, your ex-wife? And why was that other state actor in the same side as your wife? What interest did the state have at that point?
The state attorney sat across the table. My attorney sat between me and my ex-wife on the other side of the table. And you know, when you go in this jury room, they have the printer, the laptop, and all these stacks of papers, as though they doing this on a regular basis. Things should be taking place in the courtroom, but it's not. It's in a jury room where it's away from the crowd, away from people to witness what's going on. And
no court reporter.
No court reporter. And there's no cameras in circuit court. They don't record anything because they don't want any video or anything, any of the atrocities that go down to get out to the public on YouTube or anything. So...
All right. So I guess the question for my listeners: okay, so what? Now what? What does this mean?
Well,
what are you trying to show me here?
Okay, this is what happened. After I was like very, very in disagreement with what happened to me, I was in tears. It's how could this happen to me? I'm a loving father. I care about my children. I get them half the time. How did this happen to me? So I started studying. Got on the internet. Got on videos. Looking at YouTube. And I started finding resources of where this was not only happening to me. They are making fathers pay child support for children that have been proven not to be theirs. And the guys go to court, fight in court, and the court just ignores their constitutional arguments. All right? There's... It's crazy.
Well, if my listener is a man and he has been divorced, what are his rights... constitutional, as you say, are there any constitutional rights that apply specifically to him? And if so, how are those rights damaged, Gary Scott?
They deprive you of your anytime you are pulled in court and you're sued, which a money judgment is put against you. There has to be what they call an injury in fact. There has to be an injury. Somebody has to have injury. I tell people. The scenario, if my children were out playing in the street and they throw a baseball and break my neighbor's window out, then the neighbor has proof of an injury and can sue me based on the injury and her property being damaged. So there has to be an injury.
Yeah, for there to be standing to sue, right. There has to be an injury of which you are complaining.
Right. That's correct.
Are you suggesting that somehow there are no injuries in the case?
Yes.
That you were in the meeting with your ex-wife? Was there no injury in view? So why were you there?
I was there because I am being accused of being a deadbeat dad, just like all other fathers are. They're being accused. There's no sufficient evidence. They just base it on, well, you haven't paid the other parent money, so therefore you haven't taken care of your children. And so that is not the case. That is not sufficient evidence. But yet they move forward, bulldozing over people's lives, taking their property, taking their money, taking their control of their children by way of the marriage license, birth certificates, and DNA exam. So
this is David Tullis. We're talking with Gary Scott. He's an electrician and works. He's right now. He's on an outage at Sequoia nuclear plant in Saudi Daisy, and he is part of a group of men who are studying the law and trying to figure out their rights. There seems to be a lot working against them administratively and judicially in the judicial industrial complex, where they are in conflict with their former wives. His former wife is Namika, and there are three children in a 50-50 split of custody. And the group is the Tennessee Fathers Rights Group, the Tennessee Fathers Rights Group. Now, there's another group that has a similar name, but with an apostrophe in the word fathers. So I'm not quite sure how to tell you to find them. But his name is Gary Lynn Scott. Is that how you are?
That's correct.
Gary Lynn with two N's. Gary Lynn Scott on FB. We're still, by the way, we're still on Facebook. I'm trying to get past being on Facebook, but we're there at Nuga Radio. That's Nuga Radio. We're live on Facebook right now. In fact, And you can see that I'm wearing my favorite bow tie today. Mm-hmm. It's in very bad shape, but it's my favorite. And I know that when I have my favorite tie on, everything will go well, and I'll be much more powerful than when I just wear something that's so-so. So this is David Tulis, and we're at Nuka Radio. Go to my GoFundMe page and let me know that my show is of some slight value to you. It is so that I can pay my way here at this commercial radio station. We are the CBS radio station in Chattanooga, by the way, with Sean Hannity at 3 and a twaddle-free live local newscast starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Do tune into that. Wherever you might be, we have the news and analysis for you, and I'm trying to make myself useful to you. And so, Gary, all right, so but my listeners got to bail out in just a second here. So how is it you're trying to be useful to other men in your situation? What is it you're doing?
Well, in my findings, any attorney practicing family law cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted, and they have a special interest in making you pay child support. The American Bar Association has a contract with Title 4D of the Social Security Act. So they have a vested interest in making people pay child support.
The Hamilton County Bar.
Not the Hamilton County Bar, the American Bar Association, okay. the national
bar. Lawyers who are in the bar, in the American Bar Association, right. Do what again? I didn't quite catch that.
They have a vested interest in getting their clients that hire them to produce a child. Like if I hire a lawyer to protect me from the child support order, he's actually going to go in court and help me get into the child support order.
Because for the existence of every order, there is a federal subsidy, but that doesn't go to the lawyer.
No, it doesn't go to the lawyer.
It goes to the state.
It goes to the state, but I've yet to find, and I am in high belief that they are getting some type of kickback for you know, getting their clients into these. So just look at my situation. I'm $20,000 overpaid. Why would my lawyer support me paying more child support?
Right, signing the order that was made in a conference without you looking at it,
right.
You end up paying $150 more per month.
Yes.
So what are you paying per month in your lucrative electrical business?
Right now, with me having them 2 weeks a month, 6 months a year, I'm still paying $730 a month.
And that goes not to Namika, your ex-wife, but that goes to the state, right?
It goes to the state.
Central bureaucracy.
Right. I pay it to the state. The state then pays that same amount to her. They log it on their federal report to the Social Security Administration. And the Social Security Administration says, good job, Tennessee. We're going to give you this incentive payment and get $66 in matching federal funds for doing this to Mr. Scott.
For every $100 that you pay, the state gets $66 federal match.
Yes.
Paid for by the federal deficit.
And plus incentive payments.
Plus incentive. Well, do you have to pay this because Namika, your ex-wife, earns just a little bit money as a waitress or something like that?
No, she works for the state herself. It's called income shares. The thing is, no matter what it is, they have streamlined the child support process to do away with lengthy court hearings and court trials and everything. And they streamlined it and said, you know what? We're just going to violate everybody's rights. We're not going to hear any arguments. We're just going to take their money and put it on them to defend themselves.
Well, it seems like if she's earning she probably doesn't earn quite as much as you do, I'm guessing.
No.
All right. Let's say she earns 3/5 of what you earn.
Okay.
Why do you have to pay that whole amount? And does she pay the whole amount too? Does she pay into the system?
No, she doesn't. She does not pay into the system at all.
Just you.
Okay. Yeah, just me.
Because you earn more.
Yes, because I earn more. Okay. So basically, they're if you look at it overall, they're incentivizing people to get divorced.
So is it fair to call? Let me ask you this, Gary Scott, of the Tennessee Fathers' Rights Movement, is it fair to say that the state government is a child trafficking organization?
That is very fair to say.
Why? Explain why you think that's not inaccurate.
Because they're using children as pawns to make money, to siphon money from the federal government. Every state, every legislator goes. Agreed with Title 4D. It was implemented in 1975. Let me just give you a backdrop and how this all came about. In 1970, President Reagan, Governor Ronald Reagan of California implemented the no-fault divorce law, which spread across the country over the next 2 years from there. every state adopting the no-fault divorce law. All right. Once that was implemented, divorces skyrocketed. All right. So the welfare rolls increased. By 1975, welfare expenditures were astronomical, and they had to do something to stop the hemorrhage.
This is David Tillis. We're going to hear more about this in just a minute. David Tillis at 1973. We're talking to Jerry Scott, and he's someone who studied law, and probably something for you or a friend of yours, if you're involved in a court dealing under a divorce settlement. David Tillis, we're talking with Jerry Scott. We'll be right back. We're going to learn how it is he does what he does in the way of giving encouragement.